Let us listen to God as he speaks to us from his written word. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, we ought also to love one another. For the love of God constrains us, having concluded this, that one died for all. Therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Jesus therefore said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you.
Let us pray. Dear most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for this day and the opportunity to be alive. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to learn and study more about thee. We ask your guidance upon our pilgrimage here at Southeastern and upon every aspect of our lives. We ask your blessings upon this chapel service this morning, and we pray that we may leave this service this morning with a greater awareness of our mission in this world. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
For some 12 weeks this past summer, these Southeasterners were involved in mission and ministry in some key areas of our nation. Beginning in early summer, they journeyed to New Orleans for an orientation period, which included some ministry and mission on Bourbon Street. And then they moved out to three key areas in our country where they engaged with other churches, often by themselves, in footwork and door knocking and attempts to break through barriers and walls to communicate the gospel. This was a joint sharing project administered by the seminary here and by the Home Mission Board. And now they have returned after these 12 weeks of hard work, of study, and we've asked them to come this morning to give us something of their experience. This program does not end with them. Every summer we have this kind of opportunity. The location changes and the people change. But you may be interested in the opportunities this summer to work in gaining credit through the seminary and also sharing in this kind of challenge of mission and ministry somewhere in the USA. And if you are, I'll be happy to sit down and talk with you about this opportunity. Now let me introduce to you the seven Southeasterners who were involved in these projects this summer. They, along with some 40 other seminarians from many of our Baptist seminaries, were engaged together in these cities. I want to introduce to you, first of all, the Chicago Five. On my right is Anthony Oakley, and his wife, Desiree, went with him to Chicago. Also at Chicago were Fred Pipers, to my far left, Hank Flowers, and Kathy Hall. Debbie Queen was the loner in San Antonio from the seminary, but she was at home with many other Southwestern seminarians. And then Ron Pierce was the far westerner having engaged for about 10 to 12 weeks in Tucson, Arizona. We have asked Ron and Debbie and Anthony to come this morning and give to you something of their experience.
Actually, I was supposed to be in Tucson, but I was in Phoenix. I was scheduled to go to Tucson for 10 weeks, but at the last moment, my partner from Southwestern backed out, and so they sent me to Phoenix instead. I had a lot of reasons for wanting to do missions work this summer, but the primary reason was that I wanted to have the opportunity to share the gospel with other people. The summer supplied me with this opportunity. And this summer I saw many new places and I had many rich and varied experiences. I learned a great deal about the practical aspects of missions work. And I also learned a lot about people in general, I believe. After having had a few weeks to reflect on my experiences of this past summer, I have made one conclusion. I don't believe there is any one right or correct way to do missions work. And by this I mean that in missions work, we must be flexible and we must be able to adapt. What works well in one particular situation will not necessarily work in all other situations. I also discovered this summer how important it is to listen to people. Many people need to have someone that they can confide in, someone that they can talk to, someone who is willing to listen to their problems. And this is important. I spent 10 weeks this summer in Phoenix doing pioneer missions work. I worked with a fellow seminary student from Southwestern Seminary and with a young missions pastor who was a student at Grand Canyon College in Phoenix. We were commissioned by the Home Mission Board to establish a new work in the Phoenix-Glendale area of Arizona. This summer there were 8 seminary students engaging in the church planting program in Arizona. 6 of our group were located in Phoenix and 2 were located in Tucson seeking to establish a Spanish mission in that city. One of my primary tasks this summer was visitation. My sponsoring church said, go out and visit and meet as many people as you can during these 10 weeks, and so that's what I tried to do. And my partner and I visited with over 2,000 people. We also led in 5 backyard Bible clubs for children in the mission area. And in addition, we helped conduct Bible study programs for both youth and adult age groups. Many of the people that I visited with this summer lived in a large mobile home park. And in Arizona, many people live in mobile homes because there is so much transition from place to place. People move in for a couple of years and then they move out. I met people this summer from all parts of the country. And I met people with all kinds of religious backgrounds. The vast majority of the people that I met were very friendly to me. And they were very open in their responses to me. But very few of these people were Protestant. And a very small handful were Southern Baptists. The thing that startled me the most, I think, about my experiences this summer was the number of people that I met who were unchurched. Many of these people frankly stated to me that they had no use for the church, and some even admitted that they had moved out west to escape the religious climate of the southern and eastern part of our country. I detected a real narrowness of relationships in that suburban area in which I worked. Often persons didn't know and didn't care to know who their next door neighbors were. There seemed to be a rootlessness about the lives of so many people there. And yet, I could sense that many of these people were looking for something that would give their lives purpose, something that would give their lives stability. During the 3rd week that I was in Phoenix, we were able to rent a small missions chapel from a graduate school that was located in the area in which I worked. Our sponsoring church, which was First Southern Baptist in Phoenix, supplied us with the money to do this. We began holding services each Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And the first Sunday that we held services, we had 20 people in attendance. So for the remaining 7 weeks, we engaged in further visitation, follow-up, and a variety of cultivative activities. On my last Sunday in Arizona, we had 53 people in attendance at the morning worship service. And 16 of these persons had joined the church at some time during the course of the summer. During the final weeks of our work, we were able to establish a Sunday school program for the children in the missions area. And at the time of my departure, plans were being made for the institution of a church-wide Sunday school program. The work this summer was challenging to me personally, and it was also richly rewarding to me. I do not mean to say that there were no disappointments in my work this summer. Of course there were. But what I want to say is that the rewarding experiences far outweighed any disappointing ones that I might have had. I can look back on the work now and see that the Lord really did bless our efforts to be of service to Him. The work this summer gave me a new motivation and a new enthusiasm for the cause of Christ. It also taught me something about the value of patience, the value of trusting in the Lord. Church planting is a slow, step-by-step process. It requires faith, patience, prayer, and a lot of hard work. Planting a church and dealing with the minds and hearts of people is always a meticulous process. It is certainly a worthwhile process, and I believe it is absolutely essential to the spreading of the gospel.
In San Antonio, we had 7 student missionaries and then 2 home missionaries as college students. And the work consisted of several ministries. There was the apartment ministry that two of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminarians worked at. And then most of the work consisted of starting missions in areas of San Antonio that hadn't or did not have a church near. And my partner, Lynn Covington, from Southwestern Seminary, we had the privilege of working in Cool Crest. It's a trailer mobile home park which has about 100 trailer mobile homes in it and just a few houses. And our work consisted of the various activities that, like the backyard Bible club, surveys, and visitation. But the first week we were there, we found out that this was not going to be enough. We found out that the people were very distant towards one another and especially towards us. They didn't trust us to begin with. A lot of people told us that they didn't see any need in starting a church in the Cool Crest community. And so we had to prove to them that we did care and that we did love them, and that there was a need for a church in their area. And to do this, many times we would just have to go and listen to the people. There were more elderly couples in this community than younger couples. And many times they just wanted someone to talk to. And this proved to be more beneficial to us than the survey or the visitations themselves. And Cool Crest is a transient community. People are always moving in and out. And a lot of the elderly couple come to Cool Crest to settle down. They want to get away from the city life. And one important aspect that we did do was to have the game wagon out at Cool Crest for the children. The game wagon is sponsored by the San Antonio Baptist Association. And its purpose is to reach children. And 2 college students appointed as home missionaries operated this game wagon. And it's a van that has a trailer hitched to it, and it has recreational facilities. These 2 men will, they can set up a basketball court or the basketball goal and tetherball and football and have just various outdoor activities for the children. And this has proved to be a very essential asset to the San Antonio Baptist Association. Many children have been reached and have been saved through this game wagon. After they have played games for a while, Mike and Toby will gather the children around and tell them about Jesus, tell them about God, about the church, and tell them a Bible story of some sort. And then the children have a chance to respond to that. And we had a sponsoring church, Rainbow Hills Baptist Church, and this church helped us tremendously through prayer and through support. 10 years ago, Rainbow Hills Baptist Church was a mission itself. Today they have pretty close to 500 members. And when they first had their first church meeting, they only had 80 people attending. So they have worked hard to build the church up. But they see that they are the instruments. God is using them as their instruments. And so they wanted to start a mission themselves. They are a very mission-minded church with mission-minded people. And this helped us tremendously in our work. And after the 10 weeks were up, Lynn and I found out that what we did was just to lay the groundwork in starting a mission. The church now is in the process of buying a mobile chapel to set up in Coolcrest, and some of the members will lead in the different activities and the services in Coolcrest. But we found out, more importantly than anything, that missions is an opportunity to look at the people and see their needs, to be aware of their needs, and to be sensitive to the needs of people. And our work has just begun in missions. Missions is not going to San Antonio or to Arizona, but mission starts where we are right now, in our classes, in our homes, in our churches, wherever we are at, that's where mission starts.
I tell you, I'm really excited about what we did this summer. The five of us, at least four and myself, were in Chicago. And I don't know if you've ever been to a metropolitan area or not, but I never had been, and it is one big place. I think Chicago was about 3,000 square miles, I mean, metropolitan area. The city itself is about 350, so it's just gigantic. And to give you an idea of the population, Illinois has 12 million people, and there are 7 to 8 million people in the Chicago metropolitan area. And there are only 12,000 Southern Baptists. And so it's a very, very minority there. And then some people might think, well, we might be a minority there, but what about the other Protestant denominations? Or maybe even the Catholics? Well, the Catholic faith is very predominant there. And the Lutheran follows behind them. But I could see a very great need for the Southern Baptist influence in the Chicago area, because the Catholic Church, being predominant, it did not offer the people what they needed. They did not offer Bible training to their children. I went to the doors where I met Catholic people. They said, what do you Southern Baptists try to come up here and tell everybody what to be for? We don't share our faith. And that's exactly how many of them feel. I'm not going to say all our Catholic brothers are that way. They're all great. But there's a great need for Jesus Christ and Bible training in these churches. And we need this influence in Chicago. I want to say a little bit about what we did. Each one of us, we were to set out in teams of two. Hank and Fred were in Worth and Palos Heights, I believe. Desiree and I were in Lyle, Illinois, and Woodridge. And Kathy and her teammate were in Villa Park. Now, Desiree and I were different from the others. The others had to set out in teams alone to begin a church from nothing. They had to find the seed families. They had to find these seed families and work with them and train them, pray with them, grow with them. And they would not see the results of what they will not see the results of what they did this summer. The hope is that the people in the sponsored churches would take the work that they left and continue until they can build a chapel and grow. Desiree and I worked in a church, started with 25 members, and we worked under a pastor. The experiences we all had were very great. And I must say that I cannot impress upon you the need to send our missionaries there, to all of us to go there, to any metropolitan area. As I said, just so many people are in such great need. I know there, you know, apartment complexes down here, we think it's great if we go buy an apartment and we got color TV and carpet and an air conditioner. When you buy an apartment up in Chicago, Illinois, it costs you anywhere from $250 to $500 or $600 a month. And these people, when they rent an apartment, they get all these benefits. They get lakes, you know, there's a lake there, the apartment will sell boats. There's anywhere from one to three swimming pools. They just have everything offered to them. It's really a society based upon pleasure. And I could see that these people were not happy. These people were bored. We'd go to many doors and there'd be a lady in a swimsuit there. She'd sit around the house all day sunbathing. Or either she'd go out to the pool there by the apartment complex. And this was a daily habit with the people. I mean, they had all they wanted. I couldn't see what else they needed in life except maybe some love, joy, and peace and everything in their heart. But I'm not meaning to be judgmental. I'm just saying there's a need for us to reach out and stop waiting for the Lord to come in, pack our bags, and buy our plane tickets. We got to get out and do it ourselves. A little bit of what we did this summer was that we canvassed the areas. We walked door to door, house to house. And I'm going to tell you, I never had a great emphasis on evangelism itself. I've always been the social emphasis guy. And this summer, I learned something different. And I can really see the need for the evangelism. And we had to read 10 books. All of us had to read 10 books to go along with this course. And we saw that we have to have a balance between the two, the social and the evangelism. And this door-to-door thing, I tell you, I got doors slammed in my face quite a few times. But there were people that responded lovingly too. And those people are the ones that impressed upon me, we need to go door-to-door in these areas. We met people through this method of evangelism. We also held Bible clubs. All the groups held Bible clubs. Desiree and I, the Bible clubs we had five Bible clubs. We reached 334 children. And we had over 100 professions of faith. And we just knew that these areas, I mean, this was just small areas we hit. There was just thousands, and I guess a couple of million children really in need of someone to show them love and to show them Jesus Christ. And to me, I just want to impress upon you the need that everybody is not a Southern Baptist, and everybody does not have Jesus Christ. And we need to go out of the South sometimes and find these people. Home missions is foreign missions too. And we got to leave the South, go to the North, the East, and the West. And we've got to reach out for these people. And please, please, talk to some of us about this. We're excited about it. We want to tell you all we can to just share with you. And we can learn some things from you. And we just want you to talk with us. So we're close with that. And I think we have a song.